She Did It Her Way podcast episode 200. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I just said that. That is insane. Gaining success by following your passion with Crosby Norix.
Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, a collective of interviews with top female entrepreneurs from around the globe who have done it their way. These women are disruptors, savvy, courageous, confident, innovative, decisive, unconventional, and humble. Our ladies have proven business models, have taken risks, and have failed only for success to follow. Join us as they share their stories, behaviors, habits, mindset, thought processes, and what it is like to be a woman who means business. And now, here's your host, Amanda Bolin.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the She Did It Her Way podcast. I cannot believe that we are at episode 200, but I am so excited that we're here and that you are here with me on this journey as I get to interview some of the top female entrepreneurs in the country and the world as they share their stories and bear it all. It's also a really exciting and special week for me, specifically not only just for me, but also all the other women and the attendees that will be descending upon Chicago, Illinois this coming weekend. I'm so excited and absolutely humbled and blown away. You guys have no idea how much I'm looking forward to this weekend and being able to soak up so much content and information and to meet other women and bridge and bring that community together. And I also have a very exciting announcement that I had decided and made the decision about a week ago based on emails that I was receiving from listeners like you guys, like yourself, wondering and saying, unfortunately, I can't actually make the in-person event. Are you doing anything virtually? And in the beginning, I didn't have intentions or plan to do something virtually. But then after all the feedback, I said, yes, we are going to do a virtual summit. And so what does that mean? That means that you'll be able to access all of the speaker sessions and content from the event virtually, including the workbook that all those women, fabulous ladies who are attending the event, you'll also get that downloadable as well. So again, you'll be able to hear from Shauna Van Bogart, who's talking about define your sweet spot and create a fail-proof business around your product or service. We're going to meet with Katie. You'll have that from Marketing from the Ground Up, along with Maria, who's talking about how to get your first customers. Helena is talking about organizing your accounting. Tess Wicks, all about pricing for profit. Sarah Samuels is going to walk us through the different types of entities and the way that we set up our business and also retirement options. And then we have the lovely Megan Mins, who's going to talk to us about systems and productivity and systems at scale. And then I am going to bookend the event by opening it up, setting intentions, and then wrapping up the event by setting the goals and next steps moving forward. So again, you can head on over to shedidherwaypodcast.com/summit, get all the information there. And for a limited time only this week, today on Monday, October 16th through Friday, October 20th, you can pre-purchase your virtual ticket for $79. And then after that, starting on Saturday, October 21st, tickets will be $97 and on sale for a limited time only. So make sure you go on, head on over to shedidherwaypodcast.com/summit for more information. Okay, now on to today's episode with Crosby Norix, who is the founder of PR Couture, which is the PR source book for fashion and lifestyle communicators. So with her business, she aims to support individuals, brands, and agencies with strategy, building job leads, and finding business partners and collaborators. They also created the Bespoke Communication Awards, which focuses on recognizing overlooked high-performing players in the PR industry, such as the 2017 winners Rue La La and J Public Relations. In this episode, Crosby and I talk about how to support newcomers in your field with your brand and company, find ways to build your network in your field. We also talk about her journey of when she started PR Couture, why she started it, how she built it as she was still working her full-time job. And also in this interview, talking about understanding the power of email acquisition, segmentation, and personal and professional support, along with so many other things. So make sure you guys stay tuned for the episode coming up next. All right, friends, we are back with another podcast episode with the founder of PR Couture, Crosby Norix, and I'm super excited to have her on the show today. Crosby, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I feel like our meeting was a divine, like I was saying earlier, of the universe and having your name pop up a few different times and going like, oh, wait, why does it sound familiar? Yes, I know why. I came through submissions. And it's like, yes, we have to connect and have you on the show because it's really cool what you got going on. But I'll just turn it over to you and have you tell us in your own words what it is that you do. And then we'll talk about your journey of entrepreneurship and how you got there.
Yeah, sounds really good. Yeah, I love that too. In our space, it's so fun when somebody just starts kind of popping up in different places. And then you're like, should I be paying? Let me pay a little bit more attention
right
to this person. And it always just ends up being such a sort of fortuitous meeting when that happens. So I love that you also sort of pay attention to those little signs and are like, let's investigate that.
Yes.
For me, so Pierre Couture, we are the source book for fashion and lifestyle communicators. And what that means in a nutshell is that we exist to support individuals, brands, and agencies in fashion and lifestyle with everything from strategy to job leads to discovery of potential partners. We have an award program, so we're all about industry recognition in a space that doesn't often get a ton of recognition because we're all working so hard behind the scenes. So we really, you know, attempt to support that individual or that brand or that agency sort of from infancy through to, you know, world takeover, basically, with a variety of, you know, different services and opportunities and resources and things like that.
What inspired you to start Pierre Couture?
I think, you know, so many of us end up starting our businesses in reaction to something that we experienced personally that we didn't like or that was hard or challenging. And I, you know, I'd always had this love and interest for fashion and had always sort of in an academic setting figured out a way to explore whatever we were learning through kind of the lens of fashion. And when I eventually discovered that there was a way to really mix some of the things that I really enjoyed the most into something that was a career and that career was called fashion public relations, I was really excited. But when I was trying to do that sort of early networking, learn more about it, figure it all out, find people in the industry who would talk to me, it was really challenging. And so Pierre Couture eventually was originally born out of my master's thesis and my kind of first job in grad school where I was working in-house for a jewelry company. And I have always had sort of a heart for community or ways of kind of bringing people together. And so my sort of instinct was to take a different stab. There was fashion, you know, fashion blogging was kind of just taking off. So it was like, I'm going to take this fashion blogging thing that I'm really interested in and following. And I want to take the perspective of sharing information about those of us sort of working behind the scenes and the decisions that are being made around messaging and, you know, communication strategy and share that perspective. And so Pierre Couture really started as a blog. I started it about 6 months after I graduated from grad school. And, you know, at that point I had about 2.5 years of experience in the field and it has grown and evolved since then.
Yeah. Yeah. So talk to us then, because you guys are celebrating 10 years of business.
10 years of internet.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That crazy place. Share, like, walk us through. I'm really curious about how your company has evolved and, like, what was it like? Take us back to the early, early days of starting Pierre Couture and then kind of walk us through the 10 years of really, like, things that stood out to you. And then we'll dive into just your mindset around some of those decisions that you made.
Yes, there is a lot that happens in 10 years, so I will attempt to stick with the highlights. You know, I mean, in the beginning, it was a blog. I had just enough kind of graphic design and web experience from college and just enough of an understanding of sort of what were the sort of early days of blogger outreach to know that kind of blogs were where it was at. And I felt like my big vision of, you know, kind of this standalone and amazing resource. I was like, can I get fashionpr.com? And it'll be this whole huge, you know, database of all this stuff. And that just felt really overwhelming, but a blog felt manageable. So I started there and it was very simple. It was like setting up Google alerts for, you know, keyword terms, and then sort of responding to the articles that were coming in. From a very early stage, I started just stalking people on LinkedIn. I mean, there was very little online in 2006 about this profession. Most agencies had a splash page, if anything, with like their New York phone number, and that was it. And I was far too introverted and sort of nervous at, you know, just kind of starting out in my career to call up a phone number and have a blunt conversation with somebody about my little blog. So a lot of it was just sort of in response to the handful of Google alerts that would come in and random, you know, searching on, you know, all the way through to like the 15th page of Google and finding some tiny mention of some fashion or lifestyle or entertainment publicist, kind of stalking, figuring out their email address and reaching out to them and asking them if I could ask them questions about their career. Mm-hmm. And at that stage, and it was just as much for me as it was for, you know, this very small audience that I was building. I had a lot of questions because when you learn about public relations in college, you know, it's a very sort of academic perspective. They tend to focus on, you know, automotive and healthcare industries. And so if you're a girl sitting there kind of with these, you know, big dreams of fashion, you know, lifestyle, entertainment, you're not getting a lot of useful information. And so I was just so curious. I wanted to know what the work actually looked like in the day to day. And so that's really where the blog started. Over time, we added, you know, some light monetization. So we added a job board. Eventually, I added in an agency directory. We had some luck in that when we were starting out, you know, it wasn't as much of the sort of impacted space than it is now. And so over the years, we've been able to maintain some pretty strong search positions for fashion PR, fashion public relations, fashion PR firm, fashion PR jobs. And that's really helped us to sort of stay in those top couple of search results. And that's been a really powerful position to be in. So we started there. This whole time I was working full time, you know, at either a PR agency, and then eventually I transitioned to a digital marketing agency, which was kind of this whole new world. And I was brought on to sort of establish and then run the social media department. That was back in 2010. That was a while back.
I know, it's crazy how fast time flies.
Yeah. You're like, what year was that? What color was my hair? Like, well, I don't know. I have to like remember it in terms of, you know, outfits or routine or coffee. Was I really into, like, that was the Americano phase of life. So I worked, you know, I worked agency and then I kind of did PR couture, you know, the rest of the time. Eventually in 2012, I wrote a book. So I self-published a career guide to kind of breaking into the industry, because that's kind of the question that everyone has, like, how do I actually break in? And the great thing about building a platform like this is that I had access at this point through all of the relationships that I'd built, I had access to those answers. So, you know, the ability to ask, you know, what are your top three favorite interview questions to someone that very likely would be the hiring manager at an agency that someone reading would very likely be applying to or sort of be a dream job for them was really great information, really great intel. And I was really excited to be able to kind of put all that together into kind of this career guidebook. So, you know, the book is great. It's always great to, you know, it's never a bad thing to have a book. I would say it's never a bad thing to have a master's degree. It's never a bad thing to have a book. From there, you know, with the encouragement of a couple of friends in the space, I started doing some career coaching. So young entry-level talent that was, you know, again, trying to break in, and we would have conversations about, you know, their career goals and if I knew anybody in their area or just sort of intuitively felt like they would get along really well with somebody in my space, I would connect them. And that was kind of my first big like coaching consulting thing that I did. And eventually, let's see, it was about five years ago now, I had, you know, had a really great sort of symbiotic relationship with the agency that I was at, managing the social media work and team. And, you know, I would go somewhere to speak on a conference for the agency, and I'd be able to talk about my work with Pierre Couture. I was learning so much about, you know, different social and digital marketing techniques from all of the companies that we were working for. And then on my own end, you know, figuring out social and community building on a different scale, but a sort of, you know, similar in a similar space. And I was able to kind of bring all that together. I would get invited to do something with Pierre Couture, and, you know, they would give me the time off to go do that as long as I, you know, gave some love to the agency. So that was really great.
That's really nice.
It was just one of the, you know, having worked for a couple of places where, you know, just that typical sort of micromanaging, you know, not super healthy leadership was happening. It was such a relief to be in a place where I was just expected to be an expert in my space. I was around other experts, and I was really encouraged and empowered to, you know, to build and to grow. And looking back on it, I'm like, oh, right. Like, starting social media in an agency is very entrepreneurial. I hadn't yet kind of made this connection that I was sort of entrepreneurial in nature. Until I kind of looked back and was like, oh, what I did was kind of create a mini company within this bigger agency. Mm. No wonder that was really, you know, exciting. But like all, you know, idea-driven entrepreneurial people, there are so many ideas and there are so many fun things to work on. And once you've sort of figured out one thing, you're sort of on to the next. And so I, you know, was at a point with Pierre Couture where I just needed to answer that question for myself. You know, could I do this full time? And so I sort of made a bet with myself. I was like, okay, we're going to give ourselves a year. And if we're back to, you know, boxed wine and popcorn for dinner and, you know, feeling, you know, if it's ramen and we're not hacking it, you know, we'll get another job. And I felt really fortunate to be in a space that was really growing. So, you know, social content marketing, all that stuff has really, exploded in the last decade. And so I felt pretty confident that I could find something, I could find a job. So that was kind of the bet that I made with myself, or the agreement. And that was about, yeah, I guess almost 4 years ago, 5 years ago. So in that time, you know, obviously it was buckling down and getting really serious about our, you know, the business model. I had been teaching right after I left the agency. I started teaching a workshop in partnership with a woman out in New York, an in-person workshop. Then I wanted to provide something that was a little less expensive and was more accessible to those who couldn't afford or for whom it just wasn't feasible to run off to New York for a weekend. So I launched our signature kind of entry-level course called Prism. Mm-hmm. What else did we do? You know, I think we had an ebook, but we kind of expanded digital services. I had always wanted to have my own boutique, and I had kind of this aha moment where I was like, oh, like I have a site. I could just do that. So we opened up, you know, kind of more of an e-commerce site for a couple of years, where we were playing around with, you know, pencils and greeting cards and t-shirts and more physical product. And then, yeah, so we got to December of 2016, which was officially our 10-year mark. I had a baby in August of 2016.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So that little monster is now a little over one. And this last year, so it was like, you know, welcome to motherhood, welcome to the 10-year anniversary of your business. Like, what are you going to be able to actually, you know, handle and or do? And 2016 was really about, you know, getting systems into place. I was still, you know, had an assistant who was, you know, wonderful, who was sort of, you know, part-time, who had been just such a support to the site for many, many years. But was at the point where her career needed to change. And so she didn't have that availability anymore. And so, it was about like finding people who could help me run this thing when I was, you know, busy with a newborn. So it was a lot of putting things into checklists and doing all this detail oriented stuff that I've learned to get good at, but is not like my natural state at all. So it was a lot of just like hunkering down and, making all of that work and finding people that I trusted who understood the business and could keep things kind of running. But I am, I'm incredibly proud that this year we were able to launch the Bespoke Communication Awards, which is our industry award program, which is something that I'd wanted to do for, 5 years. So getting that launched was really great. We are about to launch an original reality web series with What Are You Wearing, which is this great millennial style site out of Chicago, which is a whole new ball game for us, getting into video. I know that that's where we need to be, but it is, despite being a film major, I am not a reality web TV watcher by nature, and I much prefer, I'm a long form reader. I like to read. I like to look at static images. So this was such a godsend that this project kind of came into our laps and was a way for us to get involved into a space that I know we needed to be in, but where I didn't have to be front and center. And I think, looking at that 10-year mark, there is this part where I've done a lot of, sort of being the face of the site and then wanting to take sort of a secondary role and really letting the content and the brand speak for itself, and then realizing that I was maybe cutting us off from potential revenue by sort of hiding myself and coming back out into the forefront. And I think this is one of those great opportunities to provide entertaining and educational content in a way that's really enjoyable and really aligns with one of our key target audiences, without having to do all of it myself or to be the sort of figurehead. So I'm really excited about venturing there. I taught a great Prism course this summer. We shifted around the format a little bit, and it seemed to work really well. So that always feels good when when you're fine tuning over a couple of years and then you reach a format and a process that works really well for people. So I feel, I feel good about what we've been able to do, considering just the massive transition, that I've been in.
Yeah.
Years from, and very eager now that things have sort of settled to really settle in and to figure out, a plan for, the next couple of years and really figure out the role of both the work and the business, in my life and in the lives of our community and the people who participate and help us make this thing go.
Yeah. I mean, major kudos first for everything that's accomplished. I would love to go back a little bit earlier on in the PR couture. When you first started it, did you ever want it to be like ultimate goal was to take it full time, or were you just, where was your headspace at in terms of like, this is a great thing that I have going on the side. Like if it happens, it happens, great. Or what was it that pushed you to that mark where you're like, okay, I'm going to give myself 1 year?
Yeah, it's such a good question. Because I think a lot of our success is due to the fact that I never intended for it to become my full-time work. And so I have this kind of maxim, which is to lead with generosity. Mm-hmm. And I kind of realized that was a core value of mine when we had to kind of back into monetization. And I, this is a completely different world. There was, there was no Skillshare. There was no, I made $60 million and here I am on my yacht with my, hunky man Facebook ad shoved down your throat all the, there was no clear cut path. There were very few, success stories that you could even access if you even knew like what to search for or how to find these people. A lot of it was the success that had happened was very, sort of masculine in approach. And so it just didn't like resonate or really make a lot of sense. And I started it because I wanted to share information, and I figured if there were people out there seeking this information, like I was, I would sort of take the lead and say, okay, like I'll be the person to try to provide these answers or to create this space. And like I mentioned, I was really curious. I wanted to understand more about this profession that I was sort of exploring. And the platform was really a great way to do that. Like having a blog gives you that ability to sort of say to somebody, you know, let's not just have this informational interview or this like horrible, like pick your brain, take you to coffee nonsense. Like, mm-hmm. I actually want to, you know, through my, you know, at that point, even small audience, like I have questions. I think you have really valuable insight and perspective to share. And I want to ask you those questions. And then I want to give you, you know, this space that will live on the internet forever, maybe, where, you know, people can come and learn and have that as well. It was not until, you know, it got to the point where I was working, you know, full time, and then I was coming home, and I was putting about as much work into PR Couture as I was into the work that I was doing agency side in terms of, you know, weekends and evenings. And I think I just got to the point where I was like, if I'm going to keep putting so much of my time and energy into this, there needs to be some sort of give back for me. Mm. And I don't know. I think from there, I then sort of had to figure out, well, what was that going to look like? And that was really, I think, where the book idea seemed to make a lot of sense. And so it still wasn't that I was, you know, just sort of turning on, you know, AdWords or something on a sidebar. It still was about creating a piece of content that was really valuable, creating a resource for others. But that was kind of the first foray was of really trying to see if the brand and the value and sort of our niche was big enough to keep it going or to, you know, kind of require that additional effort.
I definitely with you in the same sentiment of starting the podcast was more out of the, well, there's a need or like you desire yeah. it. And so how can you share it with other people and making the decision then totally understanding like doing the thing that is like this full-time gig and that you like work and then figuring out like, okay, am I going to do this? Do I want to like, you know, go even deeper with it like you did with PR Couture for sure. What's been like your biggest mistake or maybe not even, I don't want to say mistake or failure because I think we learn from our failures, but for you, what was like the biggest moment that you did something and maybe it was a mistake, but it ultimately resulted in learning something and growing from it?
Yeah. I think for me, it's always less about like doing something and screwing it up as just like not doing it at all because I talk myself out of it or because I don't understand my own impact. So some of the big things, you know, if I could go back and I knew that this was going to be, you know, the business, you know, I didn't invest in email acquisition for a very long time. And that just makes me want to kick myself in the shins and also in the face for just like not prioritizing that. Because now, you know, that list number is super powerful when you're, you know, going to establish a partnership or you're trying to get, you know, dedicated, you know, email, you know, dedicated newsletter blast or whatever you're trying to monetize that way. And then I also didn't sort of prioritize segmentation early enough. And despite the fact that we ask our newsletter subscribers regularly to please like click the link and pick a segment, they just don't do it. And so as we have gotten more specific in our messaging and as we have started to really think about three main target audiences, which is also a challenge, you know, wanting to be able to segment and really serve up relevant content and offers without annoying the rest or providing, you know, irrelevant information has been a challenge. I think I wish that I had invested in support a little bit earlier. I dabbled in some business coaching once that was way more than I could afford, and she was recommending things that I was not ready for as a business owner. And so I just sort of felt like I was failing her all the time by like not being able to execute as quickly. And also some of the things that she was recommending just didn't sit quite right with me. And then, you know, I kind of took a break from that. And finally, when I realized that one of the things I needed to do was really get serious about sort of the financial bookkeeping side of things, I found a really great coach who I worked with who really helped me to sort of evolve my own competence when it came to the money stuff. So, you know, it would have been great to have had that insider be looking at my business with that lens earlier. What else? I mean, the target audience thing is tough. It's still tough. I still wrestle with the, you know, should we just shut it down and niche down and serve that one, you know, that one girl?
Because who are your potential target market now?
We think about kind of three different segments. One is that sort of junior or senior in college, first like up to 5 years of out in career. So that true kind of entry level, usually PR, marketing, journalism, or even fashion student who wants this as their career, is committed to this career, and is just sort of voraciously ready to absorb any and all information and support to help them sort of reach their career dream. Then we have kind of this middle segment, and this one's a little muddly. It can be either a boutique agency owner or a freelance professional who has, you know, sort of running business, whose main goal is to grow the business, or somebody who is working, you know, at that kind of like mid or senior level, who is also responsible for helping to grow the business, but might also be looking for a little bit of career development and support. And then thirdly, we have kind of this fashion designer, in-house brand or entrepreneur who doesn't have a background in PR or marketing, but is looking to us to sort of fill in some of those gaps. And their goal is either to do it all in-house for a while, or to, you know, it's an entrepreneur who's going to do PR themselves, or they're looking for some guidance around, you know, choosing an agency and not wasting a bunch of money. So each of those segments, you know, there is natural crossover, but the need and the, you know, the sort of immediate challenge and the solution that, you know, we come in and provide is very different. So that, I mean, it just creates like way more work. I've kept them because, you know, each one of them is really interesting to me, and I feel very, you know, connected to wanting to help them. And so just sort of saying like, okay, no, I'm going to niche down, even if it might, you know, even help like revenue wise, I just haven't been able to do it. Like, these are my people, and I'm still, you know, I still feel like we can provide great value. We just have to make sure that we are, making really clear, and helping them to sort of navigate now 10 years worth of content in a way that really serves them, where they're not getting confused and they're able to get to what they want quickly. I think it's just been kind of like getting slow to the gate, coming in with just like, oh, we have this blog, you know, again, not thinking about it in terms of a business. And then, you know, thirdly, I think that idea of just not kind of not understanding the impact that you have, and being, I think, slow to really confidently articulate our value and to have kind of the guts to go after like bigger brands and bigger partners and sponsors and start asking for some of those like bigger dollar amounts. That's been, you know, something where I'm still a little bit like in the gray there in terms of feeling really confident in that space.
Cause then you guys for PR Couture in terms of like revenue is from the classes that you teach and job board posting and online downloadables. Is that correct?
Yeah. That's where most of it comes from. Yeah.
Gotcha. And then for sponsorship, is that for like the PR girl or?
So sure. So PR Girl Series, yeah, we're supporting their, our like industry award program, you know, getting kind of a key sponsor there. I think from my perspective, it's challenging when you realize that you sort of, you know, we're still a very small team. There's only so much that we can be, you know, mobilized to execute against. And that sales piece is really, it's a challenge, especially when you're working with a lot of people with PR and marketing backgrounds who are like not, who do not have sales backgrounds and are kind of like, and when you're working with, when your target audience is in public relations where they're used to negotiating and getting things for free. Like we are all like in PR and as a publicist, like your job is to get, you know, essentially free media coverage or in-kind goodies or, you know, whatever it is. And so that mindset of sort of in-kind, you know, partnership without dollars attached is very normal in this industry. So getting outside of that mindset or thinking a little bit outside the box can be, you know, it kind of hurts the brain a little bit. You have to sort of like adopt a different hat.
Has it always been that way? Is that like just an industry standard?
Yeah, I think what I've learned and what I've gotten from feedback and speaking to other entrepreneurs that have, you know, a different target audience is they're like, oh, you know, it's not like you're working with a, I understand why so many people go after sort of the online business owner or the new business owner, because similar to kind of like our entry level segment, there's a space where you feel like you don't know enough and you're desperately seeking, you know, leadership and structure and insight, and you're trying to mitigate making any mistakes and, you know, whether it's getting to profit quickly or in our case, like getting to that dream job, you know, you're in a space where you're willing to invest a little bit. But our, while saying that, you know, a 20-year-old doesn't have several hundred dollars or even several, you know, $1,000 to invest in some sort of course or program. They're used to college. They're used to either their parents paying for it or they're in financial aid. They're into a very traditional structure of education. They haven't gone through that like, aha, professional development. I invest in myself, you know, kind of space. And so, you know, most of the time they're super excited about anything that we put out, but cost is a huge, it's hugely prohibitive. Same thing, small indie emerging designers, same thing, very small budgets, very nervous about parting with any money, and most of it goes towards actual manufacturing or producing the actual collection. So marketing and PR tends to be kind of an afterthought. So those are some of the very real challenges that we have with this particular audience. That PR mindset is very much, you know, we talk about, you know, the quintessential definition of PR is about managing the relationship between an organization and its publics for mutual benefit. So you're always looking for that mutual benefit. And oftentimes mutual benefit is code for, you know, mutual benefit without budget. And so, we are working in a space where it's just kind of par for the course to be, you know, trading this or that or doing things based on relationship only. So yeah, that's, I would say, definitely a challenge. And we've definitely gotten feedback that's like, that seems like a really challenging, you know, target audience. I'm like, yeah, but that's, you know, that's also our niche. So that's been, you know, a big challenge is just figuring out, okay, what do they want? What can we create? How can we take advantage of our relationships to provide, you know, is it education? Is it, you know, just a funny t-shirt that lets them feel like they're a part of something a little bit bigger or that gives them a laugh on a tough day? You know, really exploring all different types of, you know, services and products and content to do the best job we can with the insight that we have to sort of, you know, figure out how we can support them.
Yeah. And I mean, to tack onto that too, what are maybe some of the misconceptions about the PR world, if you will, like we were talking before, sometimes it's glamorous. Yeah. I've never worked in it. But like, I would love your take and your insight on it.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest sort of stereotype, in general, is that public relations is like event planning. It's just like throwing parties and, you know, wearing dresses and hobnobbing with fancy people all the time. Where in reality, event planning is like its own industry, and you may or may not be involved in events. But the the real purpose of, you know, the PR agency or the PR expert is to help sculpt and mold brand communication and brand strategy in a way that is going to resonate really well with both the media as well as, you know, we call it audience, but really it ends up being customer, especially when you're in a, you know, product space. It's a little different if you're, you know, working for a nonprofit or a service-based organization, but when you're working with, you know, clothes and shoes and handbags and makeup and yoga mats and, you know, whoever, whatever, like fundamentally, like, the needle needs, there needs to be sales. You know, it's about understanding media trends and audience habits and kind of general marketplace trends and really understanding, you know, what is the strategy that's going to cause that impact, that's going to drive that awareness, that's going to, you know, cause somebody to take action, whether that's telling a friend or, you know, much more in this day of e-commerce, you know, clicking that link and signing up for email or RSVPing for the digital event or, you know, following on Facebook or engaging in some sort of campaign. So there's that part of it. And then I think the other one, and this is sort of what happens to anyone that works, I think, in kind of a creative field, and definitely happens in this space of fashion and lifestyle, is there's still this lingering perception that because fashion is considered to be a little bit superficial, that those who work in the industry are also superficial and sort of without depth. And that's been something that I've really tried to challenge by featuring the stories and insights and kind of boosting the credibility of many of the women that I know who work in this field. It's a super feminized industry. So, you know, really providing an alternative viewpoint there and giving them space through the site to sort of showcase their own thought leadership. Because in my experience, you know, coming from, you know, even that master's thesis where I was asking these very academic questions and getting, you know, kind of confused looks most mm-hmm. of the time, you know, eventually I got to an answer that was always really thoughtful. And, you know, we work with a lot of, you know, small boutique agency owners who are some of the most, you know, dedicated and committed, you know, professionals, both in terms of their teams and, you know, we kind of joke that being a publicist is sort of like half therapist, half like business partner, half customer service rep. Sometimes, like, you just have to be prepared to do whatever it takes to help your client to succeed. And that requires, you know, an incredible work ethic and a willingness to sort of get a little bit, you know, dirty in there and just kind of, you know, whatever it is, if that still means, you know, we had a woman right on our program, she's had her agency for a really long time. And she was telling the story about how, you know, they were doing this big photo shoot and somebody was late and something wasn't showing up and everybody's getting crabby. And so, like, she went out and, like, she did the, you know, the coffee order. She got everybody's venti, frappy, whatever. She, like, got everybody's egg white, non-egg white, no pesto on the side. You know, she, like, got that order because it was more important for her to have a fed and happy crew than it was to, you know, roll her eyes or be frustrated that the intern or the assistant wasn't there in time or was delayed or whatever. So, you know, you could be doing that type of work even, you know, at VP agency owner level. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's a business minded career. It requires an incredibly strategic mind. It requires you to have a very sort of like future forward perspective and the ability to, I know we talk about this word a lot, I've seen online, this idea of sort of pivoting. I don't think there's any industry that has had to sort of pivot quite so quickly in a visually accessible way than fashion and lifestyle communication in terms of how things have shifted from traditional media to digital media. It's been a nutty ride. And so that flexibility and willingness to, you know, entertain new strategies and approaches and, you know, stay on top of all that and be able to provide ongoing leadership and guidance to your clients and not screw any of that up, you know, it's a tough gig. And so, you know, I like to share those examples. We have a regular feature that we do where we ask, you know, what was the most glamorous part of your career and what's the least glamorous? And I always love the least glamorous answer. You know, it's like trudging through a snowstorm with garment bags, you know, slipped on ice and fell on my, you know, face and,
oh my gosh.
And the event with a, you know, with a, you know, with red knees or whatever, you know, they're great stories because, yeah, there's always, when you get a bunch of publicists, like everybody's got a story.
Yeah. It's never always just glamorous.
No, it's not and so much of it is, you know, you're there to create that glamorous experience for someone else. I had this great realization that was like, you think like, oh, I want to like work this fancy party. I want to be at this fancy event. It's very different working the event than it is actually being a guest at the event. So, I think that's always like kind of a useful distinction. You know, it's really great to see that, you know, fancy, let's just say like cover of a magazine without knowing the sort of schlepping and nail biting that took place to get that to happen, or how many months of no's there were until you got that yes. Mm-hmm. So you have to definitely be comfortable with rejection and have a lot of self-confidence to keep going.
Yeah, and exposing those stories too so that people don't assume that the glamorous and the success is normal without the work behind it. I have a few last questions for you, Crosby, before we wind down. And one of them is, if you could wave a magic wand, what would be the next thing that you would outsource?
I have a bunch of, we're about to do a big strategy meeting this week. So I have like all these post-it notes everywhere of all sorts of things. Outsourcing. I think really for us right now, it's that sales piece. It's like, if I could have a sales team, or even a really hungry sales person who was helping with that, you know, with growth, that would be amazing. Yeah.
The sales piece. All right. So if you guys are listening.
Yeah. If you're one of those, please introduce yourself. We need you.
Yes. And then the second question is, what's been one of the most influential books that you've read?
Like in life or business specific?
Well, let's do business.
Business specific. I think I really liked Tara Gentile's Living Room Strategy. That was a really valuable,
I don't know if I've heard that,
read. It's all about, you know, kind of starting influence in the living room.
Oh my gosh.
And while I think it would be useful for anyone at any stage of business, for me it really helped kind of realign my brain around sort of the why and the purpose. And it can feel really, I think it's really easy to get sort of swept up in the perception of everyone else's success. And that business really helped me, or that book kind of helped me like put my head down again and really get out of that sort of mindset where you're just really impacted by everything that's going on externally and sort of get back to basics with the business that I do have and that is mine.
Yeah, I've never heard of it, but I will definitely have to take a look at it.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Crosby, can you please share where my listeners can find more information out about you?
Yes. So the website is prcouture.com. That's C-O-U-T-U-R-E. I don't know. Sometimes that seems to be a hard one to spell. PRCouture.com. I have a much needed to be updated portfolio-ish site over at CrosbyNorix.com. Everything on social is either PRCouture or CrosbyNorix. And you can always reach me at Crosby@PRCouture.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Crosby, so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. This was fun.
Thanks for tuning in to the She Did It Her Way podcast. Did you like this episode? Head on over to iTunes.com to leave us a rating and a review. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to check out shedidithherwaypodcast.com, where you can subscribe to our email list so you can receive the inside scoop on our latest episode released each Monday. Now, do us a favor and go make it a great week.